Let us pray. O Lord, we come before you this morning, having heard your word read. Lord, we just ask that you bless these words. Lord, may you just open our ears and our hearts this morning to hear what you have to say through this. Lord, may you just bless me as I attempt to present this message. Lord, may these be your words and not my own. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. You know, I heard a story once about a man in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. And, this is just a story. It's not a real happening, but, or at least parts of it we can't know of. So the man was in his house, and the floodwaters were rising, and along came a boat. Rescue workers in it. They said, "Hop in, we'll bring you to safety." The man said, "No, I'm praying to God. God's going to save me." He said, "Okay, that's fine." So the rescue workers left. The flood waters got higher. Later, another bigger boat came along, and they. Rescue workers said, "Hop aboard, we'll bring you to safety." The man said, "No, I'm praying to God, he's going to save me. He's going to send a miracle to save me." Finally, the man was on his roof, and the whole house was underwater, and it was shaking. And a helicopter came over, and they shouted down, "Grab a line, we'll pull you up." The man said, "No, I'm praying to God, God's going to save me." And he refused the help. And his house collapsed and he died. And we got to heaven. He said, "God, why didn't you save me?" God said, "I sent three of my servants. And you refused the help that I had given you." That's a little bit about what the story is about this morning. Now, with a show of hands, how many of you have heard or read the last passage in the Bible in 2 Samuel? Got one? How many of you were surprised to learn about these other giants? Because these other four giants were all descendants of Rapha. One was even Goliath's brother. How about the man with six fingers and six toes? Interesting stuff that I hadn't even realized. So were you surprised that David was not the only one who defeated a giant? Most of us know the story of David and Goliath. There's many of people who have never been in a church who know the story of David and Goliath. You know, the story of David and Goliath is such an impactful story in many different ways. On one hand, it's almost like a folk tale or a legend. Indeed, David was a living legend in those days. So much so that King Saul was afraid of him. We see in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, the women sang songs about David that placed him as even more powerful than King Saul. They said, "Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands." Another aspect, the story of David and Goliath is a story of steadfast, childlike faith. David was a young man at the time of the battle. We're not told an exact age, but most biblical scholars agree that he was between 15 and 20 years old. Very young man. And we see that David was sort of a jack of all trades. Everything he put his mind to, he did well at. He was a shepherd, a great musician, very good song and poem writer. Those were kind of in his later years, but he had knowledge and training as a warrior. We see how David was filled with the Spirit. He was absolutely sure that God would be with him in this battle. If he was wrong, it would mean almost certain death. David was a true, humble servant of God when he defeated Goliath. He made sure that everyone within earshot knew that God was the one who had defeated Goliath. However, I want to look at this story from a third aspect today. And that is that this is a true story of a real young man who was just as sinful, selfish, prideful as everyone else. If you read this story carefully, David did have some prideful motivation. If you read farther back in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, he asks some of the soldiers, "What will be done for the man who kills this giant?" So he had some of that little bit of motivation. The material reward was a large amount King Saul was going to give. He was going to exempt this whoever killed the giant's family from taxes, and he was going to give them his daughter in marriage. So as David grew older, more powerful, he became king. He had moments when he lost focus on God. He became self-absorbed, even lustful. We can read how David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then arranged for the death of her husband in battle. If we read the entire story of David found in 1 and 2 Samuel, we'll see several times that David fell short of being a truly upright and trustworthy man, of being a righteous man. We see this type of fall in the lives of many people, especially those who become famous, begin to view themselves as a little better than those around them. And sadly, many don't realize until it's too late just how lonely life is when you don't have to rely on anyone else. But help is available for those who struggle. For the man on the roof during Hurricane Katrina, three rescue workers. For David, this latter battle in his life, there's a soldier named Abashi who saved his life. So let's look at the second time that David faced a giant in battle. He was weak. His strength was spent from the battle. He would have died if one of his soldiers had not stepped up and fought that giant for him, had not come to his rescue. Think of how David felt this time. He's much older, much wiser. He's king. But he felt the exact opposite of how he felt when he defeated Goliath. There was no crowds in the streets praising his name when he came back. His men were not in awe of him. Instead, they said, "You're not coming to battle with us anymore because you're going to get yourself killed. We don't want to lose our king." So we see this young man start off with this great faith in God. And later on in his life, God has blessed him greatly. And his faith dwindles. And he has these doubts, and he becomes weak. He would have died if God had not sent Abashi to save him. So if we consider this instance from a spiritual aspect, David was in a time of doubt. How many of you have ever felt like this? Like you're fighting an uphill battle. And when you're already tired, and you've been beaten down, all of a sudden you see a giant coming. God sends something else. I think we've all probably been there at a time in our lives. When we're in our weakest moment, and the devil attacks. We all have these times of weakness. We all need to be saved. Don't be like the man on the rooftop, praying for a miracle, but yet rejecting everyone's help. God calls his servants to be there for one another. When David was in the midst of his battle and the second giant came to kill him, David knew that he could not defeat this giant. He was not strong enough. He knew that. He was weakened by the battle, and he saw his soldier coming to save him, to fight this giant for him. It must have taken great strength for David to allow this soldier to fight the battle for him. Instead of pridefully saying, "No, I can do it. I've defeated a giant before." See, the difference is, with the first giant, with Goliath, David knew the strength of God. He was encouraged and guided in this battle. The second battle, David learned about his own humility and weakness. It took more courage for David to be humble and allow someone else to help him than it did for him to fight Goliath when he was a young boy. So, we see David grew not in strength. He grew in knowledge of himself. He knew how strong God was from his youth. We're all aware of how mighty, almighty God is. But we, like David, need to be brought to a place where we understand our own humility. How weak in comparison we are to God. Because, you see, if God had let David slay everything, every giant that came for him, overcome every single obstacle in his life, if God had allowed that to happen, what would have happened? David would have turned away from God because he would have no longer needed God. So God sent these struggles, allowed him to become weak so he could learn about his need for God, so that he could be renewed in his faith. A lot of times when life struggles happen, we read the long list of cancers and car accidents and different accidents that happen in our lives. And people will say, "Oh, you have to be strong. Just fight through it." You have to rely on God. You have to rely on those God has put around you to help you through those things. We're called to be there for one another. We're called to be a bashi, to help even those who are way more powerful than us. They need our help. They need our prayers. You know, in our lives there will be times that we're excited and we can rely on God's strength without wavering. There will also be times that even the best Christian come to a place that we have to focus on more of our weakness. and it will hurt. And it will take courage to admit that we need help. God is great. Humility is difficult. Even the strongest Christians, most righteous believers, will come to times in their lives when they are weak and their faith is shaken. The strength they have is spent, not because they're a bad Christian, but because they're in times of growth. You need to be brought to that humility. So let's identify some of the giants that we face today. Fear, shame, anxiety, lust, jealousy, stress, depression, and many more. These are real problems that we all have dealt with or will deal with, one or the other. Maybe multiple of them. Maybe when you have these giants that you're facing, maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you ask God, why this? Why now? Maybe you ask, Lord, where are you? David could have asked that. He saw that second giant coming. Lord, where are you now? God sent Abishai. God didn't allow David to do it himself. So I want you to know you're not alone in the battles that you're going through today. God is always there. God calls his people to live in unity with one another in order to strengthen each other. I think that it's such a beautiful picture of David's soldier Abishai coming to his rescue. A picture of Jesus Christ coming to take our burdens, place them on himself. We are all human. Sometimes when we feel like giving up, like our hope is gone, we need someone to help us out. Someone to bring encouragement. Someone who is willing to stand against the enemy with us, for us. So I urge you, step out. Take a stand, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, for those around us. We are the servants of God. We are the messengers of God. We are the soldiers for God's army. And I want to finish by pointing out how important it is for us to take the gifts that we've been given and give all of the glory back to God. Just as David did. After he went through all of this, if you read, I believe it's the next chapter, Psalm 18, I believe, is kind of in response to this. He just gives God all the glory for the struggles he's been through, for the ways God has provided, the strength that he has given, and also the weakness he's been shown he has. Because God alone should receive all the honor and the praise for everything that we do in this life. Instead of us shouting praises to David, shouting praises to someone else, we need to praise God. We need to be humble. Thank God for allowing us to be a part of the amazing work that he does in this life. Take that with you this week. Share God's love with others. not just within this church, in your workplaces, wherever you live, family members. We're called to be there. Maybe people won't want it. Maybe it'll be rejected. We're still called to give that love. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we stand humbled before you, knowing that you are a great, awesome, and wonderful God. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us. Lord, we thank you that you allow us to enter in and be a part of the work that you do. So Lord, we pray for your strength. And Lord, may you show us our weakness. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.